peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Tonight we celebrate God's creation of holy angels and the work they do. We're going to hear them described as ministering spirits. They are diaconal servants. And they are described as being assigned to the little ones, the believers. Their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Human beings are very curious about all that God has created. He has made such a multitude of things and such a variety of things in the world, from the amoeba to the giraffe. And human beings, in their mistrust of God's good favor toward them and in their desire to manage their fears or to govern their fate, have repeatedly displayed an inordinate interest in angels, powers, beings, dominions. Religions and occult societies have made a great deal of money, have claimed knowledge of stars and signs of the zodiac as a way to promise control over the fate of a person or how to avoid evil in the lives of its devotees. Some lives are dominated by these thoughts and superstitions. Angel worship was not a strange thing among the people of God. The prophets often had to deal with it. And the apostles of our Lord spoke frequently in their letters against the slavery of a life to the powers and dominions and the thrones, which so fascinated the lives of many people among whom they preached and lived. But for all their power, for all their intelligence, for their pure will, for their utter and absolute joy, and for the glory that they have in their perfect submission to the will of God, holy angels are not anything ever than creatures in rich abundance of the creatures God has made. Never to one of the angels did God ever say, "You are my beloved son," nor did the high God ever send an angel to become a human being, to become the savior of mankind. Rather, they are ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are inheriting salvation. Over all the hosts of the angels stands that unusual and enigmatic and extraordinary character, the commander of the Lord of hosts. When he stood before Joshua and said who he was, Joshua did what only a Jew could do. He fell down and worshiped, because this was the high God, not yet born of the Blessed Virgin, but the Word, the Michael, the who is like God, who commands all of the angelic host. And there he stands with his sword drawn. He stands as Michael, as Joshua stands at Jericho. Saint Michael and his angels have had war. They have thrown Satan and his hosts from heaven. By the blood of the Lamb we have conquered, and they have thrown them to earth, where the evil one works great woe. He works woe by his lies and deceits, and by his envy, and by his great anger. For he knows his time is short. Sometimes Christians, including me, get frantic, as if they had to do everything in this generation, save the world in this generation. Only Satan is frantic. He knows his time is short. We have all the time that God gives. But Satan is defeated. He is thrown to the earth. Those who live in heaven say, "Hallelujah! Salvation belongs to God," and they are full of great joy. The earth is full of woe. But Satan is like a little dog on a leash. He goes out only so far as the Lord allows him. Tonight we praise God for his creation of the holy angels. We praise God for their service to those who are inheriting salvation, to the little ones. The little ones have angels who care for them. The little ones have angels who always see the face of, Jesus says, my Father in heaven. Tonight, then, I want for a moment with you to use Israel's entrance into Canaan, the land promised to Abraham and his descendants. They enter to take over and to live in the land that had been promised to them and is now given to them. I want to use this entrance as a kind of story about the guardianship of the holy angels, their angels, for you, the little ones of God, the believers, guarding and watching you as you enter into the life in God's gracious promise and live in a world that is full of woe, full of struggles. Angels who are servants to you, the heirs of salvation. They are your servants, guarding, keeping, consoling, strengthening, as you live in the conflicts in the place that God has promised you, as you live by faith in Christ, that is, in heaven. First, I recall for you, Israel entered the land promised by God, a land that was not only flowing with milk and honey, but that was pregnant and verdant and luscious with the worship of the Baalim. Gods who taught people how to work with their hands, their feet, their eyes, gods aplenty abounded in and around the people of God. And God's people were to wage war and to destroy these gods. But not right away. First, they had to learn how to fight, how to carry on warfare. At the same time that they were doing this, these gods would become a snare to the people of God. Constant protection, therefore, had to be provided them. At this very entrance, they who are going into the land facing Jericho take Jericho by the oddest of attacks, blowing horns and marching, and the walls fall. For finally, the victory belongs to Michael, to the one who is like God, and to his angelic hosts. As part of it, they serve him only by marching and tooting horns. Furthermore, the habits of the minds and the hearts in Canaan, the process of where they walked, how they worked to produce the food for life, were shaped by the worship of the Baal. God's people needed instruction and training in the mind and heart of God while they did the same kind of work, producing for food, walking here and there, seeing the world and seeing each other. Would it be the eyes of Baal or the eyes of Yahweh? In this conflict of the habit of the heart and mind, their minds, like yours, need reforming all day long. The Michael, Saint Michael, this one who is the commander-in-chief of the hosts of the Lord, said to Joshua, "Take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground." For he is the one who does the reforming and the reshaping. Before they had gotten to this point, at Gilgal, God had ordered Joshua to circumcise all of the Israelites. And he said to them, "I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Then they celebrated the Passover. This story is something like a parable, for they too had been baptized into the water of the Jordan to go across into the promise. One batch of water at the Red Sea, they were delivered from the slave pit. Now it is rolled away that they belong to that abusive Baal worshiper. And now they are baptized into the land, into the life, where the struggle begins against the Baalim. In this life of struggle, they were to serve God, and they were to be protected by the angels. Michael, the commander-in-chief, and all his hosts, those angels assigned to them who always behold the face of my Father, said Jesus. These creatures, these angels, delight to do the will of the Father. They love to proclaim the news of the commander-in-chief. They love to protect and defend the little ones. For that is what the face of God shows. His will in this commander-in-chief, to have the little ones, the ones who are entering into the kingdom of God, guarded. Woe to you! Do not despise one of these little ones, because their angels, before the face of my Father, are always watching to see what he has done for them. Israel had just been baptized into the Jordan. Now, the dangers and threats of the gods of this world were not away from them. They were to live in the midst of them. It is not dissimilar to the gods that they invented in their own hearts. They are the ones who had conceived the notion of making a golden calf, a Baal symbol, as the way to celebrate their vitality, their brains, their skills, their creativity, their culture. And they were going to say now, this is Yahweh who took us out of Egypt. But Yahweh was not pleased. For the commander of the Lord's hosts has won a different kind of victory. Not a victory of the vitalities, but the victory of the humiliation. Unless you are humbled like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's where the king came, a little child, humbled unto the death of the cross. And by the blood of that lamb, Satan has been thrown out of heaven. There's no room for him there. The woe that he causes is on earth. Now, in this kingdom of heaven, there is a call to us from the king, from the commander-in-chief himself. This amazing thing, that the God who addresses you and gives you this Christ is the God who, by that address, by that word, calls you to say and to trust, my Christ. The little ones who go into the kingdom of heaven enter by the humiliation of a child. Unless you are humbled and like a child, you cannot enter that. Now, they were quarreling about who was going to be the greatest. And this is the offense. This is the stumbling rock. The rock that we hang to is the one who was humbled. Those who teach others not to trust Christ ought to have a rock around their neck and be thrown into the sea. Strange. The rock on which we are saved, and those who will not and who lead others not to trust him ought to have a rock around their neck. For God's favor and care for his little ones is to make a perfect union, to make the king and his kingdom one. He does it by an address, a proclamation, an angel preaching. Do not be afraid. I have good news for you. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. An angel singing to you. We, holy God, we praise your name. For he wants the little ones and him to be in union. So close are they that Jesus said, and we can't really translate the sentence properly, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And in a better translation, which I prefer, the kingdom of God is among you. So deep is this union that he who addresses and is given to us in the address becomes one with those who are addressed. That is what it is to have faith created. Those are the little ones, children of the Father. There, angels, always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. See to it that you do not despise one of those little ones. The disciples, as I told you, had been arguing among themselves about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That is flirtation with the offense. And the offense is the Christ, the rock, who was humbled and lowered, despised and cast out. For this question with the eye, the hand, the foot, with the life, to try to rise up, to be great in the kingdom of heaven, is to despise the little one, the Christ who is the King. For this is how close he comes to us when he addresses us and we call him our Lord. No one enters the kingdom of God except by that humiliation. And these who are thus humbled are the greatest in the kingdom of God. For the king of that kingdom is the one who from the lowest depth rises up, throwing Satan and all of his angels out of heaven. There's no room for them in heaven. And in that heaven, he rules. He takes us into it in union with himself. In Canaan, Israel had many stumbling blocks, many facets of the habits of mind and heart, of work and life, of outlook and view, eye, hand, and foot. The Baalim and their practices were everywhere. But here stands the commander of the hosts of the Lord, mighty Michael, and his angels, always beholding the face of my Father. They know the will of the Father for our life, safety, and salvation. They see the goodness and the grace of the Lord poured out on his little ones. And they see how these little ones are held in high honor. They are the greatest in the kingdom. They, therefore, quickly, without grumbling, praise this holy, holy, holy. The angels are not like us, that they get bored with their worship. They do it all the time. And with speed greater than light, and with power greater than armies, greater than bombs, they go to guard and keep the little ones, the believers, in that faith of the Father. So we too are called into that company with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We tonight also, Lord, and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. For he has made us also to be in that company. So in creating his holy angels under the mighty commander of the hosts, God guards you, defends you, and delivers the people whom he honors. Our prayer, as our Lord taught us, is that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With quick and ready gladness, they do God's bidding to serve those who are inheriting salvation. Let us see that we do not despise those little ones. And can we, knowing such creatures as the angels sent to serve us, be slow or reluctant to guard and to take care of the little ones that God has put around us? The peace of God be with all of you.